There was quite a few messages over the seven miracles in John we looked at, because towards the end, the last couple, especially with the last one, the raising of Lazarus, that was three, and then some of them took three, some took two. We've done them, and I was seeking the Lord, what he'd have me to do next. But keeping... I've borrowed a book off Peter Sandrink. It's All the Miracles of the Bible, Herbert Lockyer, and there's actually this, the Bible from the Old Testament to the New is full of miracles. Yeah. God's power and being displayed on earth and using men of God, and sometimes miracles against wickedness, which we'll see, well, a little bit tonight. But I felt led to look at Elijah. Elijah has a lot of miracles, and Elisha too. He's one he trained up. And so the first one in Elijah is the prevention of rain. And let's read a little bit there, but and then we'll pray, and then we'll look at that, the prevention of rain. It's a miracle of judgment, and Elijah did about 10 miracles, I count, and we'll go through them, hopefully, Lord willing. And about three of them or four are miracles of judgment, and this is one of them. And then miracles we'll see of, you know, how the Lord provided for him when he had to flee from Jezebel and Ahab, and miracles of mercy and miracles of providence. So I look forward to that study. And looking there in 1 Kings, did I say that? 1 Kings? Chapter 17. But let's look at 16. We'll start from verse 28 when Ahab becomes king in 1 Kings. Chapter 16, verse 28. And I'll read through chapter 17, just one verse there, and that'll take us into the first miracle. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took the wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho and laid the foundations thereof in Ibrahim, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun. Now, chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us in this reading. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to meet here, Lord, tonight. For each one that has come, you'll bless, and those online who are able to watch, you'll bless them also, Lord, as we see your servant, your faithful, righteous servant Elijah, just come onto the scene and seeking to declare your righteousness by your power, Lord. And Father, we do pray for your wisdom and your guidance now, that you'll show us what it is through Israel and through Elijah, what the situation is, especially through this terrible circumstances of this wicked sin of idolatry, and yet your mercy in it all, Lord, we see your patience, your long-suffering, even toward a king who was the worst of the worst of all the kings of the Northern Kingdom, that none were good. And Father, may this help us to realise the need of the lost in your long-suffering and patience to and desire for them to be saved, Lord, and that they can be forgiven, Lord, of their sin. And we ask these things now, and we thank you for your redemption, Lord, this wonderful story that unfolds right throughout the scripture. And then we see Christ, the finished work of the full atonement of our sins, Lord. We thank you and ask these things that it'll be you, Lord Jesus, that receives the glory tonight, in thy worthy and precious name. Amen. Elijah means the Lord, that is Jehovah, is my God. What a very fitting name for such a faithful servant of the Lord, and a servant that was able to be used by God. Right now, can we ask, even before we, like we've sung and we've come here because we want to hear from the word of the Lord, and we want to praise him and thank him in our worship, that it would be acceptable. And we'll, as we examine ourselves through this message, can we ask, is the Lord of the Bible, that is the God of Elijah, the God of Israel, is he my God too? The one true God of heaven and earth. And he should be. He, that is Jehovah of the Old Testament here, the God of creation, of heaven and earth and the sea and all that is therein, wants to be your God too. He is the God of true salvation. He is what we know. They know him as a non-writing prophet, because, you know, he hasn't got a book that he's written, but much is written on what he did. And actually, Ahab, being one of the most wickedest kings, has pretty much the most written about one of the northern kings because of Elijah and what the Lord wanted the people to see through the ministry there and turning in true repentance and the need there. And so he is known not to be an elegant orator as Isaiah and Jeremiah. He might remind you a bit like John the Baptist. And actually, as we read in Malachi, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, in preparing the way for the Lord Jesus. And but when we, like in 2 Kings, I just noticed there in chapter 1, verse 8, at the start there in 2 Kings, it says, and he's got a bit older at this stage, he was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. So we might think, you know, the Lord's called Elijah to do this marvellous warning of judgment and pronouncement of a judgment, which we're going to look at tonight through this miracle of the drought. But we might think of the Lord using, you know, Amos, a herdman of Tekoa, a fruit picker of sycamore trees. It wasn't about intellect. And these guys were wiser than the intellect in their faith in God and their knowledge of the word. And God used these men, and we can praise the Lord that Elijah developed a holy zeal. Like, that's a passion for good works, for what God wanted done. A passion to make sure you did it his way. For God's righteousness and a hatred for sin. That was zeal, his holy zeal. And we see that in the way he just, this is where he's right here at chapter 17, is just suddenly bursting on the scene here in 1 Kings. And that zeal was against anything that offended the one true God of heaven and earth, of Israel. And the current idolatry, that was Ahab, well, through Jezebel. Actually, we read about him. You can see everything just gone wrong, and disobedience. Shouldn't have even married Jezebel, a pagan idolater from another nation. Introduction of the idol. Jezebel brings her idol from where she come from there, we read, Baal, into the land. And Ahab allowed it and this was a great abomination before God. And maybe, all right, Elijah might be a bit rough around the edges for some, for a preacher, but he certainly boldly challenged, as we'll see, the people confronting it head on to turn from their idols, like we read in Thessalonians, to the true and living God, that wonderful work of faith. What an opportunity to be a part of God's divine appointment. And what Elijah prayed for it, and that's our first point, the miracle of prayer, the miracle that came through his prayer. And we're going to read about that because you don't realize that he prayed so earnestly until we read it in the New Testament. If we could turn to James chapter 5, verse 17. The miracle of prayer is our first point. And the heading of tonight's message, it started out as the prevention of rain, which is the first miracle, but I thought, Elijah, just as I am, being used of the Lord. James 5:17. Now, we see the Greek word for Elijah here, but I'm just going to read it as Elijah, just to keep it. In verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And I'll read verse 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. This is 3 years later, verse 18. But hey, didn't you read 3 years and 6 months? We'll learn about that in a minute. It's the same Elijah praying for this, what he's about to announce. Could we imagine Elijah? All right. It says the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead. Now, if you just think, looking at a map of Israel, to the east of Jordan, about halfway between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, that's roughly the region of Gilead. And there's a town there somewhere called Tishbite. It's probably got another name. But could we imagine him in that place, pleading, praying with God, as we just read there of his prayer, to humble Israel, to get their attention back on Jehovah, on God. And Elijah, there in the first part of verse 17, was a man subject to like passions as we are. Isn't that interesting the way that's written? Because, look, there were no good kings in the northern kingdom. But when we know in the New Testament now, there is none good, no, not one, as Paul declares in Romans 3. And Elijah wasn't perfect. He was just like you and me. Well, we know, coming from the area there of Gilead, look, we're not told, but maybe he could have been a poor peasant farmer, farming his own little bit of land. Now, we don't know that, but he could have been struggling to make ends meet, doing it tough like everybody else at that time in those regions, in those outer regions there. But what we know of him from the scriptures, though, whatever Elijah was doing, however busy he was, or because God wouldn't have used a lazy man. A lazy man wouldn't have been fervent in prayer, as we see there. And he would have got, just like us, he would have got tired, discouraged, as we can just put ourselves in that shoes of this situation. However lonely he may have felt, his life was balanced with a close relationship with God. And I could imagine him being one of those servants of the Lord that prayed without ceasing. And in everything, he was giving thanks, even though the circumstances of the nation were not good, like ours are not good at this time too. Israel had a great need. So Elijah, as we see there in verse 17, prayed earnestly. And considering the context of James 5, We can see the writer used Elijah as an illustration as he wrote earnestly. And as we look over verse 11 at the start, behold, we count them happy which endure. And we consider he's leading up and he's writing to the dispersed, scattered Jews, believers of the early church who were fleeing persecution. And look, trying to encourage them, and especially Elijah there was persistent. And regardless, everything can be going wrong and you can still be happy, happy, which endure, there in verse 11. And we read that in the Psalms as blessed when we, you know, put our trust in the Lord and obey him. And Elijah prayed in verse 15 there. We're in James chapter 5, the first part in the prayer of faith. He prayed in faith. Elijah was prepared to carry the burden and fight the battle for the Lord. And why did Elijah pray this way? Because he knew the heart and mind of his God, Israel's God. He knew the desire of God's heart towards his enemies as well. And so 1 Kings 17, as we go back, and we just our reading there, in verse 1, God chose Elijah to be the instrument in his hand in turning the nation back to serving him, the one true God of heaven and earth. And are we in tune? And Elijah definitely was. Ready to be used as an instrument for God. Do we desire to have a prayer life continually? And I'm thinking these myself, you know, in my personal prayer life, continually like Elisha. And that great quote, you could say, but it's from the scriptures, that quote that's used in prayers or in 5:16, at the end of 16 there of James, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that's stated right before we go into the prayer of Elijah there in James. Our Lord Jesus is invested with all power is given unto him. We know right there in the Gospels that before he ascended to heaven in giving of the Great Commission and for us and all authority, and he will accomplish great things through answered prayer when we pray in his name. And that's an amazing thought. God's interests, that is God's will, God's power can be committed through us if we are wholly devoted to him, as we see in the testimony of Elijah, as it's brought to us even from James, the book of James. Knowing God's will and praying God's will, and Pastor mentioned that this morning, we can pray directly from the Word of God, and how God must love to hear his word spoken back to him. And that to, and especially when we pray that, to make that the desire of my heart, Lord. And we'll allow, and as we do this, this will allow us to see the blessing of prayers being answered. And this promise is available for all God's children. I've been developing a practice at work, even with the little things. I'm finding it quite important and quite significant. Just little problems at work that you would just normally use your experience, which, you know, we tend to use a lot, and technology and equipment and other people, which usually I find when I start praying for help, I lose things sometimes. You forget where you put it, or you've dropped a little thing, or I'm learning to commit it to the Lord. And can I say, nearly 100% of the time, the Lord works it out. And when we can't find something, it ends up we needed a new one anyway, or something else better was worked out. That is exciting. And so just trying to develop those good habits. And then, as we mentioned before, as we know from Philippians, in everything... No, that's Thessalonians. In everything, in the New Testament, as Paul is saying, in everything, give thanks. Just remembering that, that's a good habit. Will, and God, as we know, as he knows the desire of our heart in that, will allow us to see the blessing of prayers being answered, and this promise is available for all God's children. All right, we see in James 5, James using the illustration of Job. And we see the start there from verse 7, where it starts to talk about, you know, in looking forward to the Lord's coming. And he talks about patience, James, in verse 7. Be patient. And we see that word patient there written there twice in verse 7, once in verse 8, and then verse 10. And then we read about in verse 11 the patience of Job. He suffered. We are aware of that. He was a righteous man. We know that too. James, who wrote this book, wrote to suffering Jewish Christians. James was encouraging them to show their true righteous faith in suffering. Now, in the context of Elijah and him being an illustration too, he must have suffered as the enemy, we know, the enemy Satan was inflicting his poison through the wickedness of idolatry. And that poison was spewing out some of the worst sins that we read of immorality, sexual immorality, and that was all involved with that and such evil that of murder. But we see persistence means patience, as we see the word patience five times in those few short verses. Israel's current prime minister, as we know today, needs the Lord. More so, his ministry cabinet and his war cabinet, they need the Lord's wisdom, and we pray that for wisdom for them also, but we know they need the Lord. And our prime minister needs the Lord and his cabinet and our government. And the fervent prayers of Elijah released tremendous power towards the government. He, Elijah, prayed for his nation as we need to pray for our nation today. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my faith and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so we see Elijah equipped, as he goes forth in boldness to declare the message of God. And secondly, the miracle of judgment. And we go back to 1 Kings, because this first miracle is a miracle of judgment in chapter 17, verse 1. Elijah was aware of the curse of disobedience for the nation of Israel, knowing of the warnings. He would have known of the warnings of Moses as was given there. And there's right throughout Deuteronomy as Moses is giving his final, you know, testimony to Israel before going over into the promised land, just reminding them they need to continually obey the Lord and his commandments. And especially they are warned about other nations and their gods, their idols. Deuteronomy 30. This is one point there. I want to read 17 and 19. Just as Moses was warning them, but if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether you pass us over the Jordan to go to possess it. And the judgment that Elijah had been praying for, let's look in verse 23 of 28. And the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass. This is talking about drought. And the earth that is under thee shall be iron. And the Lord will smite them. And here we see, as Elijah has prayed in chapter 17, verse 1, and it seems directly Elijah is telling Ahab this, face to face, presenting him that there will be no rain for 3 years. Now, we read 3 years and 6 months in James, but this was in... Let me read my notes, otherwise I'll... Elijah confronted Ahab, and Israel had already experienced 6 months of no rain. See, this is about October. Now, between the month of October, when Elijah suddenly appears on the scene, they had not received the early rains that were expected between April and October, the early rains. When the expected early rains didn't appear by the time October came, that's 6 months. And Elijah explains the cause here. Everyone depended on seasonal rain for food. It was important. It was their life. And we know the land belongs to the Lord. He created everything. And we are warned of the impending eternal judgment for the unbeliever. And Hebrews 9:27 summarizes that very well. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And physical death, when we consider the unbeliever, and then eternal death, separated from God forever in outer darkness. And that warning alone, and considering like the warning, as I'll just look at in a minute, but also Elijah, when he was meditating from Moses' writings and the warning of the impending devastating judgment on those that rejected and disobeyed God's law, it should be devastating, because in this outer darkness, in the warning there, the eternal death, there is no God. And that's why it's dark. There is no light. There is no colour. There's no more seeing beautiful colours that God has created in creation. No beautiful smells like the beautiful foods we enjoy and perfumes. And no beautiful sounds from beautiful music and animals and the beautiful tastes as from beautiful food. And the horror of that alone, the complete loneliness. And when we consider northern Israel, which had no good kings, and Ahab being accounted as one of the worst, was headed for a complete annihilation. And when I talk about hell, the judgment of and the lake of fire, it's not about annihilation. You know, the northern kingdom of Israel is they were pretty much wiped out, and except for some, as we know and have learnt, that took the warning early and escaped to southern Israel. Of those tribes and that believed, and there were some that were left in north there, and they become what we know as the Samaritans as they intermarried. But may we have the heart of Elijah in as we warn the loss of their impending judgment that is eternal. And they do not, if they do not turn from their idols to the true Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this was going to be a devastating drought of judgment that would prepare also the people for another dramatic miracle, which we'll look at a bit later, not tonight, but to show there is only one God. And Baal was meant to be a storm god. And obviously he does nothing. Because he can do nothing, he is nothing, to make it rain. And also Elijah will give a big, which I look forward to that, the demonstration on Mount Carmel to show that he's not nothing at all and only God is true. And Elijah now had to be patient even in that, as we saw in James 5. And this leads us now, all right, we have, this is a miracle of judgment. There are miracles of mercy also, but this is mercy in this judgment. And God in his mercy today, in this day of grace, in this day of the church, the New Testament church, allows it, we read, to rain on the just and the unjust. And the Lord Jesus says that. And that's showing the mercy of our Saviour and our God, a very merciful God indeed, and who is long-suffering even on the unjust, the unbeliever, the wicked, and very patient. And when the Lord takes away things out of our lives, and Pastor was looking at that on Wednesday night, and as he removes idols, that is, like those things that take and draw our attention away from God, It is his mercy that he is revealing to us. This is a miracle of him showing his mercy. It is a time of our life that we're taught and encouraged to examine ourselves then. And that's when it talks, it's about humbling ourselves, accepting. What we have put before God in our lives, what have we put? Has it literally become an idol that has grieved the Lord and hurt him tremendously in the personal relationship he desires with each and every one of us who are his children? And I've learnt that mercy is God keeping from us that which we do deserve. And as we understand and think about what we truly deserve, which in reality is judgment of hell, of the lake of fire for us all, that because there, as we were told, there is none righteous. And praise the Lord that it doesn't stop there in God's mercy and grace. But if we can think of it in that sense more often, I think we will appreciate more of the long-suffering of God, even toward us, until we believe the patience, the mercy of God that he has. But when we look back at James, like chapter 5, the last two verses of that chapter, we see the mercy of God. And the context of these two verses straight away come after the two verses speaking of Elijah. And let me read 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. The worship of Baal in Ahab and Jezebel, well, Elijah's time, was a multitude of the most wickedest, immoral sins. And that's why it was stated that he was the worst of the kings before him. And the inspired word of God is showing us the heart of God and the heart of Elijah, which were knitted together in love for God and his people. And an opportunity of mercy to repent. And here we read of that in verse 19 and 20, and to be saved from death, as we read at the end of verse 20, and the penalty of the multitude of sins. And I try and consider at the great white throne judgment, when the books are open, giving an account of your works, of your own works, which you have to because you haven't allowed Jesus to pay the price and pay the wage of that, to take it away. And so it talks in Romans about storing up wrath against the day of judgment, and considering how many times even we sin as believers a day, and having to confess that when we are convicted by that through the Spirit. But the world is constant blasphemy and cussing and just immorality and look, it's idolatry in every aspect of today, and not that just enjoying the pleasure of sin in that, and how they've got to give an account. We've heard about preach the time that, well, there's no time, like there'll be God will be going through each and every one, and it will be the realization of that condemnation, of that judgment, of that regret and that deserving and that remorse and regret, all those flooding thoughts of and then being condemned to eternal punishment in the lake of fire. And in thinking of those things, as we conclude, Elijah stood as one. Even though we read later that there were others who the Lord was able to separate 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal, but obviously that was probably one of the burdens of Elijah, that no one else was standing up to confront this wickedness. And maybe we can put ourselves in that shoe too, at, you know, being one wanting to stand, but we're not standing and where we need to. And it's good to have an example like this, an illustration of Elijah. And it starts, he stood as one, being separated from error, standing as one with God. And so he believed in God, and that's where it started. It starts with believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, our salvation, and a faith that gave him a victory over all fears, even Ahab and Jezebel, the worst case scenario of the northern kings of the northern kingdom. And this was a faith of separation. He separated, as we know today, we need to be from the world, from the doctrine, wrong doctrine, and we go into the ecumenicalism and Christendom side there, and the music, and it's so important in keeping it. I think the verse that sums it all up says, abstain from the appearance of evil, abstaining from the appearance of evil, and we will know what evil is as we are walking and believing in God. And that will develop a complete yieldedness, and we see this in Elijah. We're summing up him as he who stood as one, becoming a channel for the words of God to be heard by the ungodly with all power, a oneness of purpose with God, knowing his will and delighting to do it, able to wait on God, that's where the patience, ready to do his will either for sacrifice or service as the Lord directs. And challenge, are we able to have a fearless attitude? God is able to use our life as a protest against the popular sins of a nation. Elijah, we must remember, as we read there in verse 16 of James 5, he was subject to like passions as we are. It was not easy. And do we want the faith of Elijah? Mark 9:23, let me finish. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the Lord Jesus said that in Mark 9:23. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for Elijah. Thank you as we consider these men that you used to proclaim your word. And Lord, we pray that we can have that same attitude, as it started with him in a quiet place back there in Gilead, praying, as we read there, his prayer, and fervently praying, patiently and consistently praying, not giving up, even though things were getting worse and worse, Lord. And it must have been sickening for him, and may that become the sin of this world, would be sickening for us, Lord, to not desire to abstain from all appearance of evil, Lord, we pray. And so help us, Lord, as we've looked at this first statement in the will of God of drought that you have used Elijah to bring upon the nation of the northern kingdom of Israel there. And Father, we look forward to seeing, even though, Lord, he will look at next, he may have been discouraged having to flee there, and a few occasions there, Lord, it was a very wicked situation and a violent situation he was facing, Lord. And so, Father, help us not to fear what man can do unto us, but, Lord, we thank you that you are our protector, and, Lord, and our soul is in your hands, and we thank you that we have the promise and assurance of eternal life, whatever, Lord. And so, Father, we ask these things and pray for the nation of Israel right now. Pray for their salvation, as, Lord, these things now are working towards that, as you are doing a work through the people that minister there, like our own missionary Andrew, and Rachel and the family and others, Lord, that it's very fearful for them, uncertain, and even, we pray, humbling for them, Lord. And you will bring about that, as we heard this morning, as the salvation. One third of them will believe through the testimony and the witness there, Lord, and that will be beyond our comprehension what they're going through, Lord, just in that time. And so we pray that we can be faithful now with those around us, Lord. This is our desire, and may we put it to action in our prayer and then in responding when you would use us at that time. It was 6 months into the drought you used Elijah, Lord. We will know if we are in your will, Lord, in the word, in prayer, in fellowship, Lord, as you ask us to be in obedience, Lord. In Jesus' name we give you thanks. Amen.